Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lou Trek Show.
Show number 45 for Wednesday, March 17, 2010.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
And now, two guys who have about an 8% chance of making it into the pearly gates of heaven. Your hosts, Lou Costanzo and Brian Dedimore.
I'm a moth, half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I am your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. And I thought that was ironic that due to our guest that we have about an 8% chance of making it into heaven. And I hate to break it to you, but that's 8% combined. I've got about 4.5, Brian. Oh, no, it must be equal, 4 and 4. Okay, so our main webpage is www.loutrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is loutrekshow, and that is all one word, at gmail.com. Keep your email somewhat brief and to the point, and I will work them in as part of a future show. You can follow us on Twitter, loutrekshow.com/Twitter, and you can even send us voicemail on Skype by plugging in loutrekshow, all one word on Skype. Brian, are you with me?
Always. Yes. Everybody.
I wouldn't say always. But last week, you know, as everyone knows, Brian ditched us, but he has a very good excuse. He cleaned house.
I did not ditch you guys last week.
Mm-hmm. But you cleaned house, so tell us about it.
Yes, I cleaned house. I handed the old man his head on a silver platter, and it was good.
And no one knows what you're talking about.
Claire's dad plays euchre all the time. Mm-hmm. So they came over, and we were playing euchre, and we beat them.
Cool.
And it was good. And so by the time I looked at the clock, figured out what time it is, they had already had the show.
Oh, yeah. And so Paul was on last week, and we started the show with absolutely nothing to talk about, because you know, I was lost. I'm like, well, what do we talk about? So then I said, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you introduce me to some other sci-fi? So he did. He gave me, you know, we talked about a little sci-fi, and I couldn't remember for the life of me something simple as Doctor Who, but I eventually...
Who?
Know, Doctor Who. For some
who?
Reason, I kept saying, you know, that...
Who?
But anyway, yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And then we ended up going into a thing about the movies, and in the end, I think the show was about 1 hour and 5 minutes, so for nothing
by
to
the
talk
way,
about, we did good.
Since this is the Lou Trek Show, we're going to make an official announcement. Star Trek did win one Oscar this year, by the way.
Really?
Congratulations. They won it for Best Makeup.
Oh, really?
Yes, they won an Oscar for Best Makeup.
Pretty cool.
So, okay. So Star Trek is an Academy Award winning film now.
Excellent, as well it should be. You know, for especially since it had Victor Tool. But anyway, let's get our guest in, and then you can make the announcement about Trekfest.
So, okay, let's go.
Let's see what we got here.
Who are we porting in today, partner?
And now, a man who could make runabouts, starships, and even star bases disappear in the blink of an eye. That is, of course, if we had real runabout starships or star bases. The Lou Trek Show is proud to present your guest for tonight, Thin Air Magic's very own, Reverend Timothy Walker. Tim!
Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well, yes. And just to show my age, I actually heard that song performed live by the Cars back in 1970. mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Kapla, brother.
Pretty good. Yeah, that's one of the best entry songs I've ever put together. That was awesome.
That is cool. I especially appreciated the little intro piece there. That's right off of the website. So stealing my music
there
now,
you
I
go.
See.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Okay. That's
well, that's all right. You
I
can
am.
Play it all the time when I'm a, when I'm doing The Biggest Loser, when you're subbing for me while I'm there.
Oh, okay.
You can listen to it all the time.
Yeah.
Biggest
of course, I've been trying to con Lou here to go with me as my partner, but he seemingly, I can't get him away from the computer long enough to go with me, so.
You know, I've been that my entire life. Why would I want to go show it on TV? I just...
What's that, The Biggest Loser?
The Biggest Loser,
yeah. Hey, look at it this way. If you get on TV, that means they're going to call you for Star Trek Convention because they know you're a Trekkie, and they'll just bring you in on that alone.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I started to say. I mean, how much geekier can you get? I'm a professional magician and a Star Trek fan. Oh, and by the way, the little thing you said a while ago, Lou, about your show last week, here you go. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Doctor. Go on.
Brian, would you answer that for me?
No, go ahead, Lou. You walked into this one.
All right. Doctor Who.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what I could do with that one? Doctor Exactly.
Yeah. My son is a huge Doctor Who fan. He's a Whovian.
Oh, really?
And, he has the scarf and the original sonic screwdriver and the hat and the whole bit, and just absolutely loves it.
Hmm.
So and that was his knock knock joke. So that I have to credit that to my son Miles Walker.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And he actually does look like Doctor Who when he's walking around at sci-fi conventions, too.
He does. He's got the curly hair. Yeah,
he's got
that...
the curly hair in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
If they were auditioning for another Doctor Who star, he could probably apply for it and win it.
He could do it. Yeah, he probably could.
You know, I think Paul told me last week there was actually 11 Doctor Whos.
I believe so. We just got this next season will be the 11th Doctor.
Had no idea.
We just got.
Had no idea. As far as I knew, there was one in the 70s. That was probably Tom Barker. And then, Tom Barker? Did I say Tom Barker?
Tom Baker.
Tom Baker. You know, Tom
Bob
Barker.
Bob Barker is the guy that does the game show.
No, Tom Barker is actually an executive at an old job of mine that I used to work at. So wouldn't it be a hoot if he, you know, wrote me and said, "Hey, I remember you. Yes, I delivered your mail and you snubbed me a few times." But anyway, I had no idea that there was any other Doctor Who's. I thought they just redid it here lately.
Hey, I got a question. Isn't Doctor Who supposed to be immortal?
Doctor Who is a Time Lord. And they I know way too much about this. And they live so many hundreds of years, and then they regenerate.
Oh, okay. So that's how they keep up. That's how we got 11 of them.
And they can only regenerate, I think, 12 times. Is the way the storyline goes. But they live 300-500 years, so it's okay. But yeah, Doctor Who is actually the longest continually running science fiction show in the history of television. It has been on the air since black and white, like 1964, something like that, and has been on the air ever since, has never left the airwaves.
Cool.
We think over here that we have the monopoly on science fiction, but the Brits were doing it long before we were, and doing it pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be good, or it wouldn't have stayed on the air as long as it has. So
yes,
excellent writing.
Considering other British television programs, is that really a stretch?
No. I mean, we're still trying to learn to do TV in a lot of ways. Their humor is better, their writing is tighter, they're quicker on a lot of things. But you look at a lot of our shows over here, well, the only one that popped to mind, remember Sanford and Son?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was Steptoe and Son in Britain.
Yep.
On the BBC and ran for many, many years before it ever came here. The vast majority, or I won't say the vast majority, but a large number of our sitcoms today started out as British series, as do a lot of the movies. Since we have BBC America now, we get to see a lot of that stuff, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Yeah. I love watching the British TV.
I especially love
sense of humor.
I especially love that television series Life on Mars. I don't know why they canned that too quickly.
I haven't seen that one. I remember there was one called The Young Ones, and it only lasted. I don't know, the Brits do their seasons differently, but I think it only lasted like three of their seasons.
Yeah.
And you can get the box set. Of course, it's, you know, $850, but it was just the most bizarre thing you've ever seen. Four teenagers living in a flat together in London somewhere. But then you've got, like, Are You Being Served, which has been on the air or was on the air for 25 years. Mm-hmm. Something like that. The people just got so old they couldn't remember their lines and couldn't walk anymore. So you know, but it's great. And oh, the Red Dwarf. That's a good sci-fi show.
I've heard of Red Dwarf, but I've never seen it.
First openly gay science fiction character, and it was even before Sulu. You know, it's. But it's cool. It's a cool show.
Yeah, but Sulu wasn't gay, wasn't he? Was he divorced or?
Oh, the character.
Yeah, yeah, you didn't say T'Kai.
You know,
you
I don't
Sulu.
Think that was ever touched on. I know he wasn't married. And
yes, he was.
I wondered
he
that.
He was hitting
and in the transfer over from Next Gen to TSO. What was it? The first Next Generation movie. Takashi Sulu's daughter was on
yes.
the helm.
There you go.
And what was it? Scotty and Chekhov and Kirk were talking about when did Sulu have time to have a marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in Star Trek, Sulu was married and had a daughter, and she was the helmsman on the Excelsior USS Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think through the books, I think she died sometime after the commissioning is from okay. What I understand.
Okay, well, I stand corrected then, evidently.
You know,
good front there.
Hey, let's back up a little bit. You were talking about the Brits and science fiction. This has nothing to do with that, but here is one. Have you seen from Scotland on the BBC, something called Taysiders in Space?
No.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
Okay, there's a group out here. I'm trying to think of what their name is. But they did a spoof on Star Trek about an academy in Scotland that had a bunch of recruits, and they gave them their new ship. Listen to this. I really can't understand what they're saying, but just listen to it.
In the year 2345, the Federation of Planets opened a Starfleet Academy near Carnoustie in Scotland. 4 years later, its first graduates emerged to find themselves rewarded with the command of Starfleet's newest and most powerful vessel, the Ion Impulse-powered Aurora.
Right, Ensign, he's one fact of 10. We'll open this big bastard up and see if it has shit up or shut up.
Lady, get your belt soon.
We'll get chiseling and belt like a bunch of big poofters.
What? Well, let's go with the replica here. I'm starving.
Aye. As long as you bring us back a mug of Royal Game Soup and a couple of side ups.
Captain!
What now?
There a rick big hoory, a spaceship coming towards us. You want to see the bastard? The size of the thing is, I get the other twice sizes bigger than your skin.
These graduates never backed away from conflict, as they were fearless and highly trained.
I tell you before, I need a man in your pistols. That guy's made your clacker back.
need you, Dafty?
Well, I'm just here to go on a holodeck, Captain Holodeck. Daft, Ken!
He's on the holodeck.
Oh.
He's in a bar fight.
Into the unknown with Captain McConnell.
Set faces to Malkin.
It's number one, O'Donnell.
That's like hee-haw, I've ever seen a fort, Captain Ken.
Dr. McDonald.
He's dead, Captain. Stone dead. Nick Paul for nothing. Will you stop kicking at my arse, you pervert?
And Sam McCabe, the android. And McDade, the communications officer.
Captain, we're meddling with forces we can't possibly comprehend.
You can't find your gagging for E.
You have a chance of getting your hole. You're an android, you've cack on, knob.
In 60 seconds, we will board your ship, and you will surrender your vessel to us.
Seasiders in space, in amongst
you. You know, I have a difficulty figuring out what it is they're saying. But, you know, when you get this Scottish doctor in her kilt bent over trying to look at the patient and the captain staring at her ass, and, you know, and that's what she said. Will you stop kicking in my ass, you pervert?
Well, it's very scatological and a lot of references to male organs and and yeah, there's
you picked all that up.
We've been watching Gordon Ramsay, the cooking show guy, where he goes at Kitchen Nightmares, where he goes and fixes restaurants, and he's from Scotland, so you get all that stuff. So I kind of understand what they're saying.
Really, it's funny. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna play you one more here. This one's only about 30 seconds. And this is a Scottish DUI test. I don't know if you've ever seen this one. This is funnier than hell.
Oh, shit.
Did you hear that?
It was funnier than hell. So, hold on. And
I got a mute on this one.
Yeah, check this out.
Excuse me, sir. You been drinking?
Well, a couple of drinks, that's all.
Ah, well, you don't mind taking a wee sobriety test. Right then, would you sleep with my colleague here?
And now, you can't see this on the radio, you know, listening to this podcast, but he just turned around and his colleague is this hideous creature of a man with hair dancing all over the place, and he's now licking the top of his lip and...
I? Cuff him.
So, yeah, I mean, these guys are rather funny. And that's from BBC Scotland, so.
Well, now, see, I've pulled up all my little Star Trek weirdness over here. And if we could ever figure out a way to get my sound card to play this stuff, I've got just tons of this bizarrity.
Really?
So, yeah.
Is it any of the strange stuff you sent me?
Yeah, some of that, and just some. There's one, and I don't know. Considering what I've heard on this show so far, I really don't know why you wouldn't play it. But it's the parody of Spock and Kirk as homosexuals. That's classic.
We had to go with the PG rating. That's the reason why we didn't play it when we had it the last time.
Yeah, but they never really say anything outwardly. Uh-uh. They just use the what tracks have been laid down for different reasons. And you're right. And I think I have that somewhere.
He does, because I sent it to you.
Yeah, it's just a matter of finding it. You know how that. You guys keep talking while I look.
See, part of the reason why what something Lou brought up with me on the emails was why are we track fans?
Why are we what fans?
Why are we? All right, don't even begin it yet. Next thing you know, you have me saying Navy.
Have you seen what?
Too late, you missed it. I figured I'd better get my one out of the way before he forces me to say it sometime today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know you had been in the Navy, Brian.
Oh, see, it's not just him. It's not just him. He could do it anytime somebody says Navy. Okay, come on, guys. No, that's enough.
Okay. Navy.
What?
It's a sickness.
Yes, it is.
Village people.
Seasickness. Probably from being in the Navy. I don't know.
Well, everybody, it's time for us to go now.
What is this, comic routine today?
If they're looking for normal folks to kill, they'll never fire a shot at us, guys. That's for sure.
Two Klingons and a helmsman that don't know where the know how to get out of space dock yet. Yeah, we're in deep shit here.
Here we go. Let's see if it's bad.
Actually, after going to the convention last year, what's the official name of it, Brian?
Starbase Indie
convention last year. I've actually put that into one of my shows. Basically, if you ever want to know for sure whether you really were the geek they told you that you were in high school, mm-hmm. go to a Star Trek convention. If you fit in, bingo.
Yep.
Yeah, and then if you're a magician on top of that, there's just no hope.
Yeah. So. Well, I'll be honest with you. Since that was my first real convention, I didn't feel like I fit in very well. But Garrett helped me with that one.
Yeah. Well, you.
Garrett.
Star Trek conventions are. They are different from any other convention, even other sci-fi conventions.
What They're other sci-fi conventions different. Are there? Beyond general sci-fi, you never hear about a Star Wars convention.
They usually show up either in the most major towns or they show up in sci-fi conventions.
Hmm. Yeah, and then you have things like Gen Con and stuff like that. But
Where they're Star real Trek, big.
Yeah, Star Trek conventions... Generally speaking, until Creation got it, there were a couple of people back in the day that used to do it. Creation is the big one now, but Star Trek conventions are they're a really odd mix because, and I don't mean the people are odd, I just mean that it's you've got a bunch of people, usually a core group of anywhere from 6 to 15. That just are rabid Star Trek fans. They just absolutely love the show, and they'll do anything they can to promote it and to support it and to get what they want out of it, and that includes putting on a convention. Mm-hmm. And that's how most of them start. It's just a bunch of fans getting together going, hey, let's put on a convention. Okay, that's a good idea. How do you do it? I don't know. Let's do it anyway.
And that's how Starbase Indie got started, it's among the stars. If you ask them who's actually been to Starbase Indie, mm-hmm. they'll tell you that they enjoy Starbase Indie more than some of the bigger conventions that they go through throughout the year. Mm-hmm. It's because Starbase Indie is more of a smaller convention, and you get to be right up close with the people. And you don't have the big crowds of people mobbing you while you're at the convention. I mean, the stars can walk away from their table, get right up with everybody, and Garrett was smoking with all the smokers outside in the outside smoking area, as an example. Well,
yeah,
I got to sit down with what was the little guy from V? I can't think of his name.
It's on the GoreCon website.
Yeah. I was sitting outside in the atrium out there, and I had seen him walking down the hall, and I flashed him the V sign the way they did it on the new series, and doggone, a little while later, he just came on out, sat down, and we sat there and talked for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Just me and him, you know, but that's the difference. It's such a laid-back atmosphere. It's not a professional thing. It's fans there for the sake of other fans and because they get to get close to the people that they love on the show. And it's something that makes them happy. And it's fun. And this the way Starbase Indy is the way all the Star Trek conventions originally were done. Right. It was just local folks putting on a local convention, and then a few of them got big, and then somebody found money in it, and then it started getting kind of ugly. But there's still a few out there, like Starbase Indy. And for anyone listening, that was my first Star Trek convention since 1977. And it was just as much fun. And I'm not a partier, so I don't go to the after parties, or any of that kind of stuff. But that was the most fun that I've had in I don't know how long. And if you have the opportunity, wherever you are, come down. I guess it's still in November. And
yeah, the weekend of Thanksgiving.
Weekend of Thanksgiving, which makes it a little tough. But if you can, if there's any way you can, come down for it, because it's or up for it, or across for it, whatever it may be. It's a lot of fun.
Wherever you're coming from.
They're casual and laid back, and you just have a good time. And, the dealer's room is not huge, but you get the little local guys that have these little gems that you can't find anywhere else that they've had stuck back in their closets because they're fans, too, and they have these huge collections of Star Trek memorabilia. And they're bringing some of it down to sell, and you just never know what you're going to find. So it's a lot of fun. I got to do a lecture, I guess you'd call it, on building armor. And I was expecting, coming out of kind of a Renaissance fair background with some of our shows, I was expecting like chainmail or something like that, and I come in and there's this girl making armor out of foam sheets like you buy at a hobby store, and it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. It was just incredible what she did with that stuff, and so you just and she's a mom with a kid, and the little kid was running around, and there was a little kid in there playing with him that was dressed as a Klingon, had the little forehead thing, and it was great.
He's the only CAG ship in Indiana. His dad is. He runs the only CAG unit. He's based in Indianapolis.
Okay. Well, it was just a lot of fun, and got to meet Morgan Shepherd, and now see, here's the thing. My son Miles, that I mentioned earlier, is also a big Civil War buff. He can tell you who fought in which battle and where and why they won and why they lost and all that kind of stuff. Well, Morgan Shepherd, for those of you that don't know, outside of the Star Trek realm, also played in Gods and Generals and Gettysburg, and I don't know, he's been in a couple of others too, I think, playing I think the same character. And
he playing Sherman? Not Sherman, but... Stuart, not Stuart.
No, I know it's not a well-known general, unless you're in the Civil War realm. But what was
he
so
has played one?
Yeah. What was so fascinating about it was he was up talking, and my son got to ask him a question about the Civil War stuff, and he started talking about it, and he said, and there was one scene when I couldn't remember which character was which and, what his name was. I could have General this or General that. And my son spoke up and said it was General so-and-so. And Morgan turned to him and said, well, I know you know. And everybody laughed. And then he said, where were you when I needed you? Now, where can you get that kind of interaction with a star? Uh-huh. I mean, because he is. Morgan Shepherd's been around for many, 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 many years. If you ever see him, you'll know him because you've seen him in something.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And, excuse me, where are you going to get that sort of interaction with a star, with a famous star that's that personal? You don't see that anywhere else, but at a Star Trek convention, you'll see it all the time. Gordon Wong got involved with the girl playing the Batgirl, the new Batgirl character. You remember that, Brian? He got in on her little skit, got his butt kicked by Batgirl, and she put her foot on top of him. It was great.
I must have missed that one.
But that's, you know,
And that's what the good thrill about being at Starbase Indy is because unlike out in the West Coast, like at Las Vegas or San Diego, the guys there who run the Ring of Fire fleet go to those conventions all the time because that's where their fleet's at. And they tell me the ones who came over from the West Coast to Starbase Indy, that was one of the biggest reasons why they liked it, is because there you can't get as close to the stars as you can what we can at Starbase Indy. Because they're so big, the stars don't have time to really get to be around the fans. They're on like a tight schedule, and most of the time they're spending time signing autographs more than they are interacting, where like at Starbase Indy they can actually interact and still do what they're there for too is sign autographs and get to meet the people on a larger basis, and that's why they like coming to Starbase Indy.
Yeah, and the big ones, if you see the movie Galaxy Quest, you see all the stars lined up at this table, mm-hmm. and it's one of those giant conventions, and there's just people lined up in a line coming to the thing, just coming up, here's my picture, sign the picture, walk away. And that's it, you know, maybe do a photo op, and that's it. That's all you get. But Starbase Indy, I got to talk to everybody and actually spend some time with them. I actually discussed, because of being a professional magician and doing stage work and everything, I got to actually spend some time talking to
Garrett?
I just went blank. No.
Jeff Richter. Well, we had Jeff Richter on our show.
Mm-hmm.
And we made that contact at Starbase Indy.
Yeah. Morgan Shepherd. I got to discuss two times. He basically gave an actor's studio during one of his lectures. And I actually got to spend probably some total of about 30 minutes discussing that more in depth with him.
Wow.
In regards to stage work, and it just invaluable stuff. You know, you can't buy that. Well, you can, but you're going to pay $1,000 an hour for it. Mm-hmm. And we got it free. So mm-hmm. anyway, yeah, it's you just don't get that anywhere else. And the fans themselves. I mean, you're going to have jerks no matter wherever you go. But the jerk ratio is much lower at Trek conventions.
Yeah.
And it really, 'cause they're all there for the same reason,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
And
there's no debate over which sci-fi is better. We already know.
Yeah, yeah. And it shows in the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And that has remained true. That's the one thing I noticed from way back and up to now. It's still... They're still the same way. I do have to say it was really funny. I went down to they have party rooms. That's after the official convention. They come back in and they set up a bar and they have a dance, you know, have music and all this kind of stuff, right? So I went in just to see if they were like they used to be, and yes, they are. And I'm standing there up against the wall, and all of a sudden here comes Morgan Shepherd. And he's got a glass in one hand and a bottle of scotch in the other. And he just kind of goes through and he's going, hello, 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 as he goes through. And he goes into the VIP area and does whatever his does and doing in there. And then he comes back out and he's got a full glass and a bottle of scotch. And he goes back through going, hello, 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 hello. And he ends up in the front room and sits down out there and visits with everybody because the music was too loud. But he made his appeal. He just kind of went through and went back, you know.
You weren't at some of the earlier Starbase Indy conventions. At the infamous Defiant Party, Quark, the guy who played Quark, Nom, and the Dobble Girl. I can't think of her name. She played in – they all tended bar at Gary's party, literally.
Oh, wow.
In fact, she was in the wet T-shirt contest, if I remember right. Ooh. On that one. Okay. You know the ranger from Babylon 5? The black-haired ranger? I can't think of his name. Mm. You know who I'm talking about, don't you, Tim?
Honestly, no.
Nope.
It's not Star Trek.
I can't think of his name right off the top of my head. I got in a drinking contest with him. Now, can you imagine me sitting down with a brandy glass getting a 357 Magnum? Okay. Yep. A 357 Magnum is whatever's on the table, you get a shot of it with a beer chaser.
Okay.
Okay. Him and I were exchanging 357s until I passed out under the table. But he was walking the halls all night long because he was so drunk, he was just out of it. So, and I was puking my guts out in my room because I had just had too much. And it was all because someone said, I dare a Klingon to challenge me to drink. And sure enough, I walked up to him. I sat down at the table. I pulled a double shot of Jack Daniels and I shot it down. And he looked at me and said, I'm going to beat you, Klingon. And I said, yeah, but I'm going to make you pay for hell to do it. Let's go. No one didn't tell me this guy was a Scot. Okay. Yeah. If I knew he was a Scot, I wouldn't have never got into the drinking contest because I knew I was pee before I even sat down at the table.
Now, my story doesn't involve puke, but it's equally entertaining. I went down to the last convention I went to was in 1977. It was in Joplin, Missouri, and the entertainment for it was a cover band that was all African American guys. And they were doing Rush, if you can picture that, okay? So anyway, the Saturday morning, got up, came down to the little cafeteria in the hotel to eat breakfast. And I'm sitting there, and this very quiet, shy guy comes walking by, and he looks over at us, and he goes, "Hi." And I realize it's Walter Koenig. Now, and he is the quietest guy I have ever seen. He is really, really shy. And I said, "Well, hi, do you know who you are?" And he looked and he giggled and he said, "Sometimes." And he asked if he could sit down with us, and he came over and sat down, and we started eating breakfast. And in just a little while, this blonde-headed fireball walked in, goes, "Hey guys, any left for me?" And it's Grace Lee Whitney, Yeoman Janice Rand.
Wow.
Yeah. She's been a couple Star Base indies.
Oh, she's a trip. She pops over and she goes, "All right, good deal. Everybody wake, everybody sober?" "Oh, too bad." And we just and we sat down and had breakfast together. Now, that is a Star Trek convention. That's the way they started out. And that's what makes them so special. You can't do that with George Lucas. You can't do that with these other science fiction stuff. You just don't do that. But with Star Trek, you do. And that's what makes it special. And I think that's why we love it so much. So anyway,
of course, you know who I'd like to see show up at a Star Trek convention?
Who's
okay.
that?
Okay. Kirstie Alley.
No. 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 Mm-mm. No. You don't know. I'm sorry, Kirstie. I don't mean this, but I mean, I'm sorry to say, but I don't want to turn this into a Jenny Craig thing. And no. Because, you know, what do you want her to show up in the uniform, too?
I don't think she can fit into it.
No.
Now y'all just
make a special tip for her. Mm-mm.
Now I'm y'all sorry. Just acting ugly. See,
I'm sorry. No, that's what I say.
I love Kirstie. I would love to meet her.
I would too. Now, who I like to see is John Larroquette, but made it clear he'll never do a Star Trek convention so long as he's alive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
John?
He Yeah, John refuses to come to any Star Trek convention whatsoever.
I'll make a phone call.
You do that.
No, you think I'm kidding now. Let me tell you a little something here. Do you remember the show Night Court?
Yeah.
I love it.
That was a great show, right? Mm-hmm. You remember the guy that played the judge?
Harry Anderson.
Harry Anderson. Harry Anderson is a professional magician.
Very much so.
Okay? He and John Larroquette are best of friends.
Yeah.
Well, Harry now lives up in South Carolina. Uh-huh. He did live down in New Orleans until the hurricane hit, and he tried to stick it out, and the government down there just fell apart and didn't do anything, and it was a big mess, so he moved. But he and John are really, really close friends. Turk Pipkin is another one in the bunch, and they perform together. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Groundlings. Elvira came out of it. Edie McClurg came out of it. But it was an improv acting group, comedy group. Well, they're John Larroquette and Harry Anderson, Turk Pipkin, these other guys, they're kind of like that. And I'm not going to make any promises, but I'm going to make a phone call and just see if we can't figure out a way to get John Larroquette to show up.
A phone call to who?
Harry?
Yeah. So you just look up the Rolodex and you got Harry Anderson and he'll answer and say, "Hi, Harry here? Are you serious?"
Let's see. I'm looking at him on Skype right now.
He's on Skype right now?
Well, he's not online, but I've got him on here.
I was going to say, pull him in here.
He's on my Skype.
I don't even care if he's Trek or not. I'll talk to him in a second.
He's not online. But that's another thing. The Magic community, not all of it, but some of it, mm-hmm. is kind of like the Star Trek convention. We have a common love for this thing, for illusion. And there are some of the guys that you can get a hold of them and talk to them, and it'll, they'll actually talk to you. So
I'll tell you what. If John Larroquette would actually come to a Star Trek convention, wherever it's at, I would find a way to be there.
Hey, you want to get him on the show, too?
Hey, I'd love to have him on the show.
You know, like I say, I'm not going to make any kind of promises at all. I just, there might be a way.
Get him on the convention. So, that's more important. You know, much more important.
But,
you get him to Starbase Indy, I'll guarantee you there'll be more in Star Trek fans at that convention.
Could be.
He'll probably be like William Shatner and Leonard
Nimoy.
Get a life.
No, yeah. Give me $50,000 first.
No kidding.
I don't think Larroquette could command that anymore. But but they deserve to be paid, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously.
But
people would draw just to see him alone.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether or not he's just because he played a Klingon in a movie. Is irrelevant just because he's a noted actor that people like because of his Night Court.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And now I'll tell you guys,
Legal.
If you want to see something really hilarious, it's hard to find, but there's an old videotape, VHS. They never put it on DVD. It's called Hello Sucker. And what it is Harry Anderson's stand-up magic routine that he did at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. Whatever the name of it is. Anyway, John Larroquette and Turk Pipkin are on it. And they have some little kind of staged scenes outside of Harry's show that kind of breaks it up.
Mm-hmm.
And John Larroquette plays a con artist in one from the South. And... you know, and that's the other thing. If I'm not mistaken, Larroquette, I know he is Southern. He may be from Louisiana, and that may actually be how he and Harry kind of got connected. I don't know. Hmm. But I've never asked him about that. But there's all kinds of little... It's like the, 7 Degrees of Kevin Bacon? You never know who knows who and how they know them and where it comes from and all that kind of stuff. So,
yep. John Larroquette was born in New Orleans.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then. That makes perfect sense then.
Mm.
And he has a heck of a southern accent, too.
Harry was born in Newport, Rhode Island. Interesting.
Yep.
So I wonder if they just probably came together at night court.
I think they knew each other before night court. Larroquette, to my knowledge, is not a magician, but he is a comedian, and he did do like the improv stuff. And because Harry's a comedian and a magician, mm-hmm. that's how they got their start, was doing stand up. And Turk Pipkin also, and I suspect that's how they met and became friends. Again, I don't have any authority on that, but I think I would feel pretty safe in saying it was probably Hollywood where they met in the comedy circuit rather than TV or any, because they knew each other before night court. That's how. I don't remember if it was Larroquette that got Anderson his gig or Anderson got Larroquette his gig, but one or the other got the other one the job on night court. But anyway.
Okay.
So, cool. Yeah, much ado about nothing, but there it is.
So, pretty much.
So we'll see. But anyway, I feel like I've been monopolizing this thing, but this was a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on.
Not a problem. Hey, you know, I typed this in the chat, and I was just wondering, maybe we'll put this off for another day, but do you want to come back for it? It's kind of like we've done shows in the past, like things you'll never hear or see on Star Trek. Or a favorite, whatever. Well, I just thought, wouldn't it be funny if, you know, things that make you go bullshit? You know, kind of like what I mentioned a week or two ago, like Worf's half-brother Nikolai. Why is it that the Russian Roshenkos have an Italian baby? And he looks like he's from the Gambino family.
Kind of like the entire series Enterprise.
Oh boy, you know we gotta get some people on about that.
Before we depart, we need to say a few things.
A few things, Tim. You want to do it too? Go ahead, Tim.
Yes.
Say a few things.
What?
A few things. Hold on.
A few things.
Hold on. All right. Well, go ahead, Brian.
We want to say something about TrekFest.
Oh, well, no. But why don't we say something about TrekFest?
TrekFest is, I got an email from the USS Lobo, which is the ship there that helps run the TrekFest thing. And they're trying to set the Guinness Book of World Records for the most Star Trek fans at any one convention this year. So they want me to say something on the Lou Trek show and promote it across Klingon space and let Starfleet Command know and push it really hard to everybody on it, because they're trying to get as many Klingons as they can, because they also want to send the Guinness Book of World Records for the most Klingons in one space at one time. And they're trying their best to do a lot of things with it. So I'm just letting everyone know that that at TrekFest, me and Lou could be part of the Guinness Book of World Records.
Well, that would be really cool.
Wouldn't it, though? And then we can go back to our nice little humble Starbase
existence.
India. Well, no, you know, you guys were talking about how nice and small Starbase India is, and I like that idea too, because when Garrett was talking, and we could, you know, we could stand right in front of his table and just listen to him talk. I was listening to his mannerisms and the way he talked, and then I found myself watching Voyager to look for those again, and I actually found them. Things, the way Harry talked, that I never saw Garrett, you know. Or was that the other way around?
Did you notice he had kind of a Valley Girl sort of speech pattern sometimes when he got real animated and real excited? It was like, oh, my God, he's just going to break loose any minute and just kind of go, you know?
One thing I always wondered, and I think I did a Google search on this, is, you know, was Harry Kim gay? But there's been question on that.
Well, if you ask Ron White, we're all gay. It's just a matter of to what degree we
what
indulge
degree,
it.
Ron White.
Hey, real quick also, for those who don't know, Walter Crooney, last week, we did a tribute to his son,
yes. We did. You were
well.
Wrong.
You did. I missed it. But Walter Starr is back up for vote for the Walk of Fame this year again. I mean the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Mm-hmm. So everybody, please, 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 write to him and say we want Walter Starr on the Walk of Fame. Mm-hmm. Please, everybody, let's get the last member of the Enterprise crew listed on the Walk of Fame. And let's get the whole crew on, the whole crew of the Enterprise finally on the Walk of Fame.
Mm-hmm. So see, please, and I don't understand that either because, I mean, Walter's, I mean, what, Babylon 5?
Yeah, he's done other sci-fi stuff,
tons
too.
Tons and tons and tons of sci-fi.
And voiceovers.
And, yeah, and just an incredible actor and... He plays evil really good.
Yes, he does.
He's really good at that. And so that, excuse me, that really doesn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. Why he's been left out like that. That's, I don't know.
Okay. All right, Tim. Well, hey, thanks for coming on. And like I said, start thinking of some things to, you know, about Trek in general, whether it be any series, you know, things that just make you go, bullshit.
Nice to have you on, brother.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
wait. Hold on. Okay. We forgot something important. Why don't you tell us about your show, Your Magic Act, and how they can find you?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I have Thin Air Illusionary Productions and Thin Air Illusion Ministries. As you mentioned, I'm also a pastor. And so we use illusion in church settings, and we also do magic shows for private parties and corporate events, and I mean you name it. You pay us, and we will be there. It's kind of cool. We have a website. It's www.thinaire magic.com. So thinairmagic.com. And we're based out of Indianapolis, Indiana. I've been doing magic for about 34 years. When I figured out that I could stand up in front of people and make a fool out of myself and they would pay me money to do it, my life was cut out for me like a well-tailored suit.
Cool. So, and here's a little bit of sound from your website there. And this is the stuff I stole right off your website. So, yeah.
Yeah, we actually, if you go on that first page, you'll see like a big green orb.
Yep.
Like a perfectly shaped loogie on there. And the original idea was to make that float, you know, kind of move around on the page, and you'd have to follow it and click it to get to the next page. But evidently, we couldn't figure out a way to make it move. So,
really?
But anyway, yeah,
I'll give
it's,
that some. I'll give
we have
that
a lot of
thought.
Fun with that. And a little added note: there is an excellent chance that we will be doing a special show for Starbase Indy this year. So I'm actually been talking with Kim Huff, or emailed her a little bit about that. We're supposed to get back together on that, and looks like a good possibility that we'll be doing at least one and maybe two. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that, and of course we'll be working Star Trek. Star Trek is already in the show, just for the record. There is a reference to Star Trek, and it's about as geeky as you can get, so it's really nice. And so we're looking forward to that, and I don't know, we're talking about a couple of different things we might be able to do, so who knows, we may actually be able to figure out a way to transport somebody in. Wouldn't it be cool?
Mm-hmm. Of course, I'll be there at Starbase Indy doing the Lou Trek show, since Lou won't be able to show up.
I don't know. I just don't know. I mean,
well, if you're not, then I got Tim.
I was lucky to get this one off, and it's tough. It's tough, but
well, if you can't, like I said, Tim will be there. Tim will give me a hand, won't you, bub?
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, anybody else got anything to say?
No. Other than I got a promotion in Ring of Fire Fleet, but who wants to hear about my promotion? For the people who don't know, Ring of Fire Fleet is a West Coast Klingon organization, and they've got one region that's everything west of the Rockies, east of the Rockies, to the East Coast. They cover all that area because when they started, they were all just strictly West Coast Klingons. Well, the growing undiscovered country, which is what they named the region, has started to grow with new members showing up, so they finally have set aside a regent to deal with everyone in that area, and they named me as the regent.
So West Coast Klingons, now, do they wear their batlets backwards and throw up West Coast sign when they... Yo, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. I just have this picture of a bunch of gangster Klingons. That's funny. You know,
okay. Well, you know that Cardassian, you know the Cardassian that was there?
Yeah, yeah.
She's one of the Ring of Fire Fleet people.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That was a great outfit.
Well, I think we'll close the show with a little bit of this here.
Space, the final frontier.
Specimen gathering mission on planet Alpha 177.
Mr. Spock is much stronger than the ordinary human being. Aroused, his great physical strength could kill. But it's a risk I'll have to take.
Something bothering you, Mr. Spock?
May I say that I have not thoroughly enjoyed serving with humans. I find their illogic and foolish emotions a constant irritant.
Unlike you, we humans are full of unpredictable emotions.
Love. Tenderness.
Yes, yes.
If I seem insensitive to what you're going through, Captain, understand. It's the way I am.
Don't be afraid. Here's my hand. Hold on.
You are beautiful. More beautiful than any dream of beauty I've ever known.
What is your point, Mr. Spock?
I love you. I can love you.
Kiss me.
You're out of your mind. Each prospect appeared quite attractive to you a moment ago.
You don't really want to hurt me, do you? Put that thing away.
No, I don't think so.
No! I can. It's painless and quick.
And remade by Second Officer Spock.
Possible we may have hit the wrong entry point.
Yes. Very well, Captain.
Try again.
If it pleases you.
What are you waiting for? Hurry!
If you'll excuse the intrusion, Captain.
Bury the hatchet.
An appropriate choice of terms, Captain.
Keep your fucking hands off. Just keep away, you green-blooded half-breed.
Scotty.
No, wait.
Are you all right, Captain?
All right. Just a little busy. I have to take him back. Inside myself. I can't survive without him. I don't want to take him back. He's like an animal. A thoughtless, brutal animal.
Sir, let me give you a hand.
Okay.
That's just wrong on so many levels,
so
but
many.
It is so funny.
It is so funny. All right, Tim, hey, thanks for coming on again.
I'm waiting for the gay Star Trek union to come on and start bitching at us for playing.
Oh, no. Yeah, boycotting the Lou Trek Show. A bunch of homophobes. All right.
They'll just have to get over themselves and remember Idic. It's all right.
I guess so.
Don't even get me on that one. We tried to name a ship after that when we went to what was that we went to, Claire? Was it Shoney's or some? We went to a restaurant and we were talking about it, and the waitress come up to us and said, "Are you guys gay? Or what is going on here?" And this is the name of our Star Trek club, and she kind of gave us a strange look. So we dumped the Ed real fast.
Well, boys, it's been fun and fabulous.
But not enough.
It's just been special and sparkly.
Bless my soul, what's wrong with me? Anyway.
My first job in entertainment was as a DJ at 17 years of age in the biggest gay bar in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Now, how did that happen?
So, I wanted to work, man. I wanted to be on a mic somewhere, and I didn't care where. And I was 17, and they gave me free drinks.
So you had plenty of...
Yes, you can sail the seven seas.
I know exactly. See, now I understand how to relate to Brian, since I now know that he was in the Navy.
One of these days, when you guys say that, I'm just going to play the whole damn song. Come back down about 3.5 minutes later and say, have you had enough yet?
No, I haven't had enough yet. Apparently, I'm going to get more Navy no matter what I do.
You guys ain't going to mess with me. I'm ready.
Navy.
You know what, Tim? You and I need to get together and figure out something for Lou.
Uh-oh.
So every time Lou screws up, we can dump him with it, too.
Hey, Lou?
Hmm?
Navy.
Oh, man. There we go.
You can just play us out with that, you know?
They want you. They want you. They want you as a new recruit.
Everyone? All right, everybody, I want to thank everyone for showing up tonight here for the Lou Trek Show. I want to thank our host, co-host Brian, and our guest, Tim. Remember, it's Thin Air Magic, THINAIRE, magic.com. I'm Lou, he's Brian, he's Tim. Have a good night.
Kaplah.